Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Anybody in here got anything to thank him for? Take a moment and take a moment and share it with somebody. Just one thing. Hallelujah. He maybe kept you over the holidays from having a head-on collision. Maybe he healed your body. Maybe blessed you with some finance. But turn to somebody and just share it with them.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is none other than Prophetess Overseer Sadie Elliott. I'm so glad you stopped by today. We have an exciting topic we're going to talk about today. But before we start, I have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast today. We thank you that it will reach somebody that would help, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Heavenly Father, as we go forth, speak through me, dear Heavenly Father. Move Sadie out of the way, dear Heavenly Father, and let the Holy Spirit speak through me today on this program that would help somebody, dear Heavenly Father, far or near, dear Heavenly Father, in the blessed name of Jesus. We pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today our topic is the discipling of suffering. You know, we're going to be coming from Hebrews today. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnessing surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnare us. Let us run with enduring the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that laid before him, endured a cross and despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For considering him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. My. The discipline of suffering. You know, Christ perfect sacrifice calls for his followers to remain faithful regardless of the situation. You know, in the Word of God, as I was reading in Hebrew, it says, "My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives." You know, enduring suffering as discipline, God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? You know, father and mother will discipline, and you know God for sure will discipline you. You know, I use for example today, there are three key measurements I'm going to give you. First, how fast can you accelerate? Second, what's your top speed? Third, how long can you endure? I think I'll say those again. How fast can you accelerate? And then the second, what's your top speed? What's your level? Third, how long can you endure? You know, as I was thinking about that, the scripture teaches us that Christian life is more like a marathon than a sprint. The key measure for us is enduring or endure in faith. The goal is for every believer to finish well. And the prize is to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, by running the race of faith, isn't easy. We must train diligently and practice daily. That means even in the Word of God, we got to read the Word of God daily. We got to be in practice. For whatever come up, we got to be ready. We must embrace God's discipline, our focus on Jesus. You know, this was the pep talk of faith that the, you know, in the time of Hebrews delivered to the readers. You know, as we see throughout Hebrew, the writer combined explanation and exhortation to pursue his Christian brothers and sisters to cling to Jesus and grow in their faith. You know, God's Son is the final and ultimate word from God. Therefore, salvation in him must not be neglected. You know, Jesus is our great high priest. So then, we must stop acting like spiritual babies and go on to a matured faith in him. It's time to come off of papillon and milk and get some meat. Go up a little higher. You know, Jesus established a new covenant in his shed blood on the cross. Therefore, we can draw near to him in faith, holding to him in all situations as our true hope, and encouraging one another in the fellowship of the church. Now, just think about that. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it's a roll call of Old Testament individuals who lives definitely literally what it meant to live by faith. We have to live by faith, you all. These were God's people who lived under the old covenant, yet they show through their action that they believed God one day was going to do something new. They looked forward to the fulfillment of God's promise, though they didn't see it in their lifetime. You know, Hebrews, however, lived in the age of gospel fulfillment. Jesus Christ had come, had given his life on the cross, and had been raised from the dead to enter God's heavenly sanctuary once and for all. Think about the profession of faith in Christ. And as believers, they needed to realize that they were surrounded by a cloud of witnesses whose lives urged them on in the race of faith. You know, with that focus on Jesus, the readers of Hebrews could run the race and finish it well. They needed to embrace God's perspective on their suffering. You know, God would use their hardships and persecution as training or discipline. In doing so, God was treating them as his children, not as outcasts. He is a loving father who deeply wants his children to grow strong in their faith. You know, when you think about that, enduring, are we really enduring in the faith we are going through? Are we enduring? Or are we throwing in the towel? Are we giving up? You know, every generation of believers is surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You know, one way that people sometimes evade this image is to picture a stadium packed with cheering fans. You know, the fans are past believers, finishers who are in heaven and are rooting for the present generation of Christians as they run the race of faith. You know, the clearer the way to understand the picture, it, however, is to imagine the reader of Hebrews looking at the host of finishers who had gone before them. We sometimes sit back and reminisce of ones we've known that's gone before us, how they finished their race, their course, what they went through. You know, and then it's a bit like standing in the Faith Hall of Fame and observing the photos and other member rambles that tell of the victories of past heroes of faith. You know, either in understanding, the point was for the readers, us, to be encouraged in their faith. You know, they was running a long-distance race, not a sprint. They needed to keep going to endure. Quitting on Jesus wasn't an option. And a lot of times, you know, we want to quit, but quitting is not an option. You got to keep moving. Just like you running that race, no matter if 10 people pass you, you keep going. Don't give up. You continue the race because you know that you're going to have a crown at the end of that race. God is going to reward you. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. But, you know, there were some things that they couldn't do to grow stronger in their faith and to keep going toward the finish line. You know, to help us nowadays to endure and finish well in our faith, we as believers need to lay aside every weight, I mean every weight, that hinders our trust and Jesus Christ. You know, the old enemy or whatever you want to call him, the slew footed, he's going to come in and try to distract you, get your focus off of what you're doing. But we got to remain in our faith. We can't let nothing stop us. That's why the words say lay aside every weight. You know, it's some weight that's trying to get next to you and God and what the purpose he has for you. You got to lay them things down. You know, this could be a burden of fear that somehow God will not be able to help us in time of sickness or in the loss of a loved one or in some other type of personal crisis that you may be going through. Maybe it's the weight of worry or doubt, or perhaps it could be the threat of hostility toward Christians by the enemies of Christ. Any habit that drains our trust in Christ can and must be laid aside. You know, it is an energizing work of the Holy Spirit to help us as believers lay aside these weights. You know, believers also falter by falling into sin. Unconfessed sins to the Christians are like lead ball chains to a runner's ankle. You know, Proverbs 28:13 say, teach that the ones who try to conceal sin would not prosper, but the one who repent and confess will receive mercy. You know, 1 John 1:9 says in the Word of God, teaches also that if we confess our sin, God will forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mature Christians are to help a stumbling believer seek restoration in Christ. And you'll find that in Galatians 6:1. You know, to endure in faith and finish well, we are to lay aside unnecessary burdens and confess our sin. We can endure also by looking to Jesus as the champion of champions when it comes to living by faith. Even the spiritual heroes who portray, portrait hangs in the Faith Hall of Fame had times of weakness and distraction. But not Jesus. Jesus exemplified the life of faith from start to finish. He is truly faith's source and perfecter. You know, when runners get distracted during a race, they can lose focus. That's the same way we are. When he have us on the course, we let someone come in and distract us that will get us off course. But we can't get off track or forget the game plan for reaching the finish line. You know, Christians who get distracted in life, who fail to keep their focus on God's plans for them, often get off track spiritually. But, you know, for this reason, Jesus Christ deserves our complete attention. After all, he means everything to us if we are believers. He is the original author of our faith. You know, he is perfected faith. He completes it. He lived by faith in the Heavenly Father from start to finish. Therefore, we, as Christ's followers, gain strength for enduring as we keep our eyes fixed on him. You know, I know you say, well, wait a minute, but what all this ball time? Well, just hold on. I'm glad you asked. You know, when Jesus endured in obedience to the Father's will, was the humiliation and pain of dying on the cross. My. You know, Jesus endured unthinkable suffering, not because of any wrongdoing by him, but as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. A lot of us haven't did things, unthinkable things or anything, wrongdoing, but we're wondering sometimes, why are we suffering? Well, you know, that's right there. Providing the way of salvation for us was the prize, the joy that Jesus focused on when he poured out his heart in the garden. When he stood accused and condemned by religious leaders, when mallet blows drove spikes through his hands and feet, pinning him to the cross, when with a final breath he cried out, "It is finished." You'll find that in John 19 and 30. You know, the faith by which Jesus laid down his life on our behalf was a victorious faith. He arose from the dead. He utterly defeated sin and death. And now, as the believer's great high priest, he is seated forever at the right hand of God's throne. His victory guarantees the victory of all who run the race of life by faith in him. We got to keep our faith. We can't lose our faith. You know, here in Hebrew, the readers to think seriously, excuse me, and carefully about Jesus and what he endured for their sake. When we think about what God did, what on the cross, what he did for us, where they experienced hostility, opposition, or hardship because of their confession of Christ, what they grown weary and fearful, if they focus on Jesus, they will know that he understood the cost of discipleship more than they ever could. You know, they would also realize that all power in heaven and on earth belong to him, and that he strengthens his followers so they can endure any hardship or persecution. I'll say that again. Our Lord and Savior, he strengthens his followers, which is us, so we can endure any hardship or persecution that has been directed to us, sent to us. By considering Jesus, the readers of Hebrews could press on in faith, overcoming their weariness and finish in victory. My. If I have any callers on the air that would like to come on and say anything, just hit one on your keypad. It may be something that's helping someone out there today or someone that would like to say something on this topic today. And if not, I understand. You know, when I thought about that race, I think about Olympics. Can't wait until the games to start training, just like with us. You know, most of them had trained since childhood, practicing hours a day, every day, sweating, exercise, studying, focusing, eating right, just for the moment they complete on the world stage at the Olympics. But staying focused on training requires discipline, just like with us. Likewise, discipline is required in our training as champions for Christ. You know, the Hebrews addressed this requirement with his readers. Some of them was faltering in their faith. They were struggling against sin. The writer means either that his readers was wrestling against their own confessed sin, or they was being buffeted by the sins of unbelievers who opposed them. You know, in any case, none of the readers had yet suffered to the point of martyrdom. They might occur in the future, but if it did, they should remember that Jesus endured the cross. He holds the crown of life. And when you think about it, I'm going to pose this question today to all those that's listening or may come on later in the archive. What kind of training do believers need today? How do their discipline fit in? In the Old Testament scripture, it was to exalt. They were suffering hardship. But what was their attitude about their suffering? You know, some people can suffer and go through with a good attitude. And some, when they open their mouth and go, you hear them and you say, oh, I have opened up a can of worms. Were they losing heart? Were they growing bitter against God for allowing it? Did they understand the positive value of seeing that situation as divine discipline? You know, I went over to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, in the 11th and the 12th verse, to show that God's discipline, even his corrective chastening, was evidence that they was God's children. You know, most of the book of Proverbs, including chapter 3, is ascribed to King Solomon in Proverbs 1 and 1. The state purpose of the book of Proverbs is to provide God's people, especially the experience with training in the righteousness. You know, God is a good God. Hold on just a minute. A call is coming through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Caller was calling in. Hallelujah. You know, Solomon taught his son the reason to value God's corrected discipline. The writer of Hebrews knew that his reader also needed to hear that message. You know, believers should not disregard God's corrected discipline or take it lightly. You know, discipline has a positive purpose. It is meant to help us stay on track in our life of faith. You know, neither should we pout, get mad at God, or decide to quit growing in our faith when he used adversity to chastise us. You know, God used discipline as a wise and a loving father. He takes discipline seriously because he wants our faith in Christ to grow stronger. You know, discipline served to strengthen us so that we will love and trust him more. You know, God used it to build our spiritual endurance. We cannot do it without God. So he has to build us up to go on with that spiritual endurance. When you think about it, how has God been nurturing your faith in him? Just think about it for a few moments. You know, when we think about our children, children have a tendency to be excellent observers, but poor interpreters of what's going on around them. You know, God's children often suffer from a similar tendency. If we were not careful, we can allow ourselves to believe that God has allowed turmoil to overwhelm us because he spitefully or simply doesn't care what happened to us. That's not true. God cares. We're reminded by this verse, however, that nothing could be farther from the truth. God isn't spiteful. He loves us. He has received us into his family through our faith in Christ. You know, therefore, he treats us as his children. He prepares us through discipline so that we can endure and overcome adversity, not simply escape it. He disciplines us because we belong to him. Sometimes things happen to us, and all we can do is say, ouch. If that fit, just say, ouch. Because he's weeding us. He just like, I figure sometimes, I guess use an example, is he pruning us. He's taking some things out to put some other things in, some things that need to be taken out of them. You know, life is about doing hard things that you don't want to do because you believe the result of doing those hard things is going to create great joy and great good, not only for you and for others, but most of all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, strengthened by the truth that God urged our struggle to discipline us, we demonstrate wisdom when we hold fast to Christ as we deal with hardship. We all go through hardship. By reminding ourselves that the Lord is working through our difficulties to help us to grow in him, we will be ready to face suffering with confidence. We are not his enemy, neither are we strangers to him. Quite contrary, we enjoy an intimate relationship with him because of Christ. You know, when God saved us, we became his children, whom he loved. He is the Heavenly Father who loves his children enough to correct them. With that picture view, we become his disciples. You know, it's underscored the depths of his love for us and the authentic of our faith in him. You know, when you just think about it, we as believers are called to live out that faith constantly throughout that lifetime. You know, running the race of faith may include physical suffering for the sake of Christ. The believers can find strength in Christ to endure. I personally myself found out going through some physical suffering, some struggles I was going through. But when I started thinking about the affliction, I thought I was suffering. And I thought about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on that cross nail. My attitude and my mind and morals changed me. Because when I think about the suffering my God did for me on Calvary's cross, I had to get rid of all that stuff in my thought pattern, my process. Because what I was going through, it seemed like it was hard, but the word said that was light affliction. What God went through was sure enough suffering. But what we go through, we bellyache, we cry, we moan, we groan, we have a pity party with ourselves. But when we get the discipline of suffering, stay in the word, keep that word flowing through us from the crown of our head to the sole of our tippy toes. Keep feeding that word in us every day, daily. When the old distraction comes, which that old bad boy, I won't call no name. Hallelujah. And when we go to God and say, God, forgive me for bellyaching, for complaining, for crying, and oh, poor me. And if somebody else been going through what you went through, you might not have heard about it. You might not have seen it yet. But when we come out and think about God, and when we come through that suffering, we're going to come out as pure gold. You know, running the race of faith may include physical suffering for the sake of Christ. You know, the believers can find strength in Christ to endure. You what entanglement do you need to remove so that you can finish strong? Just think about it. What steps can you take this week to remove those entanglements that you've been going through. And think about, how is God using a difficult to shape you and grow your trust in him? Think about it. How can you use what you are learning to help another group member or somebody else that you're going to come across that went through or going through what you're going through now? Don't you know, if it had not been for a trial and a test, you couldn't give a testimony, you're going to come out of this thing as pure gold, because you're going through this now for somebody else that you didn't even know. But when you come out of it, oh, my God, you're going to come out victorious. You're going to come out so strong at a higher level that you're going to come out with this here. You know, when you just think about it, discipline of suffering. We don't want to go through things no more. We want everything microwave instant. But God is a good God. I thank the viewers for coming on today. I just did 30 minutes today, but I thank you for staying on. Caller from area code 701, 709 and others, 713 and others, I thank you so much. And till next week, and as we close, turn off the line. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast of Discipline of Suffering. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do, dear Heavenly Father. We give you praise today. We give you all the glory. And let us stop grumbling and complaining, because we know we're going to go through life with some challenges. But when we just think about what you suffered for us on the cross, we can think about we're going to go through it too. So until next week for another exciting topic, please stay tuned. Tell others to come to the broadcast. It may be something in the archive that they will enjoy listening to. And until next week, bye-bye. Have a wonderful week. From Prophetess Overseer Sadie Elliott. Bye-bye.